But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it today. Well, this week's scripture lesson represents a transition. You remember for the last several weeks, our lectionary readings have come from Matthew chapter 10 and have described Jesus commissioning and empowering and sending out his disciples. Now we read in chapter 11 how Jesus also traveled into the cities where he had previously performed his deeds of power, his miracles. And he had encouraged the people to repent from their sinful ways, but they had rejected him. The chapter begins with messages from John the Baptist, who is now in prison. He's in Herod's prison. And he sends some of his disciples to question Jesus. And those questions reveal that even John harbors some confusion and some doubts and some uncertainty. Jesus responds to John's disciples and sends them back, and then he praises the work of John for the people. And then our reading this morning begins with Jesus rebuking the people of the cities he has just visited, the ones where he has been rejected. And he compares them to spoiled children that are never satisfied. Now, I know this isn't any of our children, because all our children are perfect. But he says to them, and listen, for John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Can you imagine this conversation in your own homes, perhaps? Maybe we can even see ourselves in this rebuke. I think it's human nature. We criticize one thing, and then when that thing changes to become what we thought we wanted, we criticize that too. This is precisely what Jesus is saying here. He's frustrated and a little angry, perhaps, at the responses that he's received. You see, the people are very excited for him to do miracles, but they're not interested at all in his message. But Jesus perseveres. He presses on, and the verses this morning represent an invitation. Jesus invites his listeners to join him as one of his disciples. And what I hope that we can hear this morning is that as the audience today, Jesus is calling us as well to make us disciples, people who in word and in deed become signs of his kingdom. Because through God's grace, we can be relieved of the oppressive burdens of this world and take on instead the burden that Jesus gives us. That's why I've entitled this sermon, Swapping Loads. We give up a load, but we also take on a load from one burden to a very different kind of burden. Because when we take on Christ's burden, God gives us grace. God empowers us to lead lives in which we have something more important to do than simply live to serve ourselves. We sometimes get confused by church words, and I think the word disciple can be one of those. By definition, a disciple is simply a follower, someone who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. A Christian disciple, then, is a person who accepts and assists in spreading the news about Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen closely. Christian discipleship, then, is the process by which disciples grow in their understanding of Jesus. It's the process where they are equipped by the Holy Spirit to overcome the pressures and the trials of this present life, and then to become more and more Christ-like in this world that we live in. Christ-like in the way we speak, Christ-like in the way we behave, and Christ-like in our whole attitude and approach to life. It's not really any different from what Jesus has been doing with his disciples. You see, we are called, we are fed, and then we are sent out. And the words Jesus uses are some of the best known and most comforting in the Bible. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. C.S. Lewis said this, and I really like it. He said, we think about our souls like we have a soul. But C.S. Lewis said, we don't have souls. We are souls. What we have, the part of us that's temporary, is our bodies. It's our souls that are eternal. I got to thinking about yokes and burdens, too, when I read this. And I tried to imagine what the yoke of Christ must be like. Remember who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to his fellow Jews, people that were trying to live their lives under a weight, and that was the weight of the law. And over the centuries, the Jewish religious leaders had added to the commandments we read. They'd interpreted them and published more guidance, more commands, more rules in thick books that the people would have to know and to follow in order to stay in the good graces of the priests and the temple. In one respect, then, Jesus could be inviting the Jewish people to let go of that burden of the law and take up a new way, a new path, a path that began within their hearts. But what about us? What would the yoke of Christ look like for us? We're not Jews under the law. And yet this imagery of a yoke is a powerful one and has meaning for us too. When I think about the yokes of this world, I think about the times when I carried the weight of worldly responsibility and worldly obligations. I was a person driven by my desire for power and wealth. It was a heavy load and one that consumed the other priorities in my life. It cut me off from my faith and from my family. And it was fueled by this overpowering desire to accumulate and achieve, to be successful in the eyes of others. And so many are on the same path, striving to accumulate and achieve. But Jesus offers us a different way. He offers us an easy yoke and a light burden. It's a yoke and a burden all the same, but it's a way for us to get out under the self-imposed burdens of this world. We see a lot of yokes here in central Pennsylvania, don't we? A yoke is simply a device for joining two or more draft animals so that they can be guided as a team, moving in the same direction, pulling together to share a load. I turned out here on 192 one day, and I was going out towards Mifflinburg, and I saw a young woman in a red dress, and she was standing on the back of a plow or some contraption, and there were six horses yoked together side by side. And I said, you know, you don't see that every day. Certainly not when you've spent the majority of your life around the cities. It was such a powerful image. But our Amish friends use yokes quite often to harness their horses and mules, to plow the fields and to tend the farms. But there are two types of yokes, aren't there? Barbara Brown Taylor, who is one of my favorite authors and theologians, writes about them. She says there's single yokes and there's shared yokes. The single yokes are very efficient. By placing a yoke across the shoulders and fitting a bucket hung from poles on either side, human beings can carry almost as much as donkeys. But they will tire easily and will have to sit down to rest, and their shoulders will ache and their backs may even give out. But still, it is possible to move great loads from one place to another using a single creature under a single yoke. A shared yoke works quite differently. It requires twice as many creatures, for one thing, but then if they are a well-matched pair, they can work all day. Because under a shared yoke, one can rest a little while the other pulls. They can take turns bearing the brunt of the load. They can cover for each other without ever laying their burden down, because their yoke is a shared one. They have company all day long, and when the day is done, both may be tired, but neither is exhausted, because they are a team. I often think of us as a body of Christ, as a group yoked together, working together, striving together to achieve a purpose, to work for Christ in the kingdom of God. But I believe that there's another reason that the load is easier and lighter. I believe that we're also yoked with Christ himself. Jesus is yoked beside us along with our brothers and sisters. In some respects, it's a little strange because I think of Jesus as also guiding the team. So he's both guiding and pulling at the same time. So maybe the analogy breaks down a bit. But I am convinced that Christ is beside us and striving and working with us. But I think we also need to be cautious, because oftentimes we try to make that shared yoke a single yoke. I'm kind of telling on myself a bit. We convince ourselves that we can do everything and do it well. We confuse God's free gift of salvation as something we feel we must earn. And if we're honest with ourselves, every single one of us that longs to know God better in our lives lives with this tension between accepting God's free grace and then trying to earn God's favor through the things that we do. We live like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, collecting merit badges. We keep a list of things that we feel we should do, things we need to do, that we had better do, or else God won't love us anymore. And essentially what we end up doing is turning the shared yoke of Jesus back into a single yoke and a difficult yoke, because we feel we need to do so in order to be worthy, in order to earn God's love. Friends, we don't have to earn God's love. And I don't think that's what Jesus intended by these words. Reverend Taylor captured it when she said, "These words of Jesus coming and finding rest and relief from our burdens are words meant to assure us that those who please God are not those who carry the heaviest loads alone, but those that are willing to share their loads or are willing to share their yokes by entering into relationship with the one whose invitation is a standing one." How many of you have trouble asking for help? I know I do. We like to do it on our own, too. That way we can be sure it gets done right. Right, Beverly? She and I compete in this department. So what is that burden, then? Well, I want to go back, and I told you to remember this. What is that yoke, that burden that we bear? Remember when I talked about Christian discipleship and the process? The process of growing in our understanding of Jesus, of allowing the Holy Spirit to equip us and overcome the pressures and trials of life, and to become more and more Christ-like in our words, our behaviors, in our approach to life. That's the burden, I think, right there. It's simply being in relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, allowing that yoke to work with us, not trying to force it and take it places we want it to go. And that invitation is a standing one. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My friends, this is our invitation from Jesus himself to come to him, all of us that are weary and bearing heavy loads, and like the disciples, to participate in the kingdom, to come to him and to find rest and to put down our heavy burdens and take up instead the work of the kingdom, that work that Christ desires from us more than anything else is discipleship, to allow Christ to guide us and lead us and work beside us. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words of rest and hope. May we find within ourselves the ability to let go, to allow you, Lord, more control, all control in our lives. Give us rest from the burdens of this life. Help us to be at peace with one another and with the work that you've set before us, which, as you've told us, is a light burden, one that we can share among ourselves to achieve your purpose and to show your kingdom to those in our communities and in our world. Amen.